Hello and welcome to Everything in Between, the podcast where a dad and daughter duo delve deep into topics ranging from true crime to paranormal occurrences to urban legends and, well, everything in between. I'm Emma.
I'm the dad.
And we're recording on 420.
Yeah, we are.
Great day. Lovely day in April. I feel like I wasn't able to celebrate it as, I mean, not that I would celebrate it the right way anyway, but like, there's so much on my mind nowadays. It's hard to appreciate the small things in life, like 420.
I sent something to your phone.
You did?
Yeah.
What did you send? Oh, I'm on Do Not Disturb, that's why. Oh my God. Sometimes I wish that this was a video podcast, YouTube, something. I like Willow sleeping in the back of your picture. I assume that you're letting me post that on our Instagram, right?
Post. Sure.
Okay.
It's fine.
You guys will see this. It's a really great selfie to show how far your growth has been during these days here in quarantine. Oh my God. I love the black and white filter too. It makes it very dramatic.
There you go.
All right. Well, that's
good. I sent it to your Uncle Bob because he sent me something. I'm like, oh, I'll cheer you up.
Oh my God. Yeah. So that'll be on our Instagram if you want to see that. That's just lovely. Really wonderful. So we're getting by. I totally forgot to write this down on our list. Oh my God.
That's my phone. Sorry.
I put it on. I forgot to write this down on our list, but I rearranged my room yesterday, or a couple days ago when this comes out, very drastically. Like, I mean, you saw the product. It was pretty strange, right? Basically, my bed is in the middle and I moved it to the corner and I vacuumed so much dust. And I'm pretty sure that, like, by the end of it, I was just 50% dust from everything that I just...
You're leaving. I still understand, but
yes,
whatever.
But, you know, if this continues, I might be attending my first semester in college here.
Oh, God.
Never know. But also, you know, I've been wanting to move my bed into the corner of my room for a while. And before, the last time I asked, you guys were like, no way.
Yeah, because you would do nothing. You'd been like, can you just do this for me? So it only took you 17 years to actually, you know, do something. Okay. All right, I won't even make it 17. I'll say 14. I'll give you 15 to actually clean your room.
Okay, anyway. Moving on from that.
Yeah.
It looks so different now, and I love it very much. And it feels weird. But good. There's so much space now in my room that I don't know how to fill.
Because, you know, all the space should be needed now. Because you can just have all your...
The one thing, though, that's kind of sad is that in moving everything around, there are, like, two, like, light panels in my room, outlets, that actually connect to the light switch. And currently, none of them are connected to any lights. So my light switch doesn't really do anything right now. And the only source of light in my room is like some Christmas lights that I have on my window.
It's a little bit dim in there. We can just move on.
But, right. You know, we'll fix it. I'm going to get a lamp or whatever.
That's great.
But that's the update on my room.
Mm-hmm.
I'm
assuming everyone was thrilled to hear that.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, okay. Absolutely.
All right.
Yeah, so we've been doing a lot of baking too. I made
like the rest of the world.
Of course, yeah. This is just the bake apocalypse. But I made some ginormous cookies. You've been making bread after bread after bread after bread.
Well, your mom actually made challah bread. That was unbelievable.
I didn't try it. That was really cool. Yes.
And then we had because we can never get hamburger or hot dog rolls, so we actually made our own.
They were good.
Yeah, they were decent. I think. But we just found two jars of yeast. It's like gold that aren't expired that we can now bake a whole bunch more. But what?
Don't say that out loud.
Oh. All right. Steph saying that people are going to storm now because we have yeast. So, well.
What happens, happens.
Again.
We'll be prepared.
Yeah.
Yeah, so lots of fun desserts, except they're all gone within a couple of days, which is partially my fault because I keep eating and eating and eating. But a lot of it is Christian because he keeps eating and eating and eating, arguably more than me. But that's, I feel like, kind of normal nowadays. Yeah. There's nothing to do but eat. And we've been watching a couple things. We finally saw Birds of Prey, which we'd been waiting for forever.
And yeah, I just wanted to wait to rent it.
Yeah.
And now I'm going to wait to buy it just when it goes down on sale because it was great. I loved it. It was a lot of fun.
So good.
It was just a lot of fun.
Like, it was kick-ass and feminist and just, I loved it so much.
I guess. I mean, I felt like there was bad, I don't know if it was bad reviews or people were just saying it wasn't, maybe there was too much hype or whatever, but I don't know. Maybe that also helped for us, but it's a fun ride and it's the way it's directed, the way the flashbacks work, and just, I think.
And the cast too.
Oh yeah, everyone's great, yeah.
It was so good and I really loved it.
Yeah, no, if you haven't seen it, I mean, we recommend it.
Absolutely.
And it will definitely go into the library for us.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. So that was really fun. We finally, I think we might have, I don't remember if we mentioned that the premiere of Killing Eve came out, but we hadn't watched it.
Right. We delayed. Yeah.
Yeah. But we ended up watching it and it was good.
So we watched the first episode. We missed last night. We'll watch that.
Yeah. Sometime.
Again, it's good. It's, can't say anything.
You just gotta watch.
Yes, 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 yes.
And then
it starts off with a bang.
Definitely. And then we also the new season of What We Do in the Shadows,
which is it is so good.
It's so funny.
I mean, this season already they it was back to back episodes, and I mean we've loved the movie. We loved last season's, but this was just great. I mean, and I love Guillermo has,
he's my favorite character.
Well, they've definitely decided to make him more prominent.
Yeah.
And I believe this whole season, there are guest star appearances. So there's one in the first episode. The second one, I don't think there was, anybody.
No, there. Oh, you're right.
Yeah.
No, I can't remember.
Ghosts. So yeah. But, yeah,
it's so good.
And first, watch the movie if you haven't seen it. Yeah. Then watch season one, and then go into season two. And well done. It's just really, really well done.
I forgot when we were watching it how much I loved the titles or the theme song.
Yeah, yeah.
It just made me very happy to hear it again. So that's been really fun. And I think it's Wednesday nights that it comes out.
Yeah.
So when this comes out, we can watch the new episode.
That's true.
Which is very exciting.
That's true.
But it's been a lot of fun. And then I just started watching. Well, I've been trying to finish getting through Twin Peaks again, which I like keep watching it on and off because sometimes it just bores me because it's so slow. But I don't know. It's going well. I want to know what happens, but I just don't want to sit through all of it, you know?
No,
my opinion on it.
I didn't get into it when it was, when it was first premiering.
Yeah.
It was like everyone was talking about it, but I just never got into it.
I like the vibe, but I feel like it's just very, I don't know. It's kind of hard for me to like sit down and watch more than one episode.
Fair enough.
And then I also started watching this French series on Netflix called The Forest or La Forêt. Which I think is good so far. I feel like it's most of the stuff we watch, you know, like Small Town Murder and focuses on the cops, sort of broad churchy, and I don't know, I like it.
That's good. That's decent.
It's only 6 episodes though, which I feel like all the best ones are always really short, but I've been looking for like a good like binge show. I need something to just like watch and watch and watch.
Well, I think it's also good because I think how long are the episodes? Are they?
They're like an hour, maybe an hour and a half.
So I mean, if it's an hour and a half, then you're basically getting more than really 6 episodes, and that would be in the U.S. So you're almost adding 50% more than that.
That's very true. But I need something that has a bunch of episodes, like Brooklyn Nine-Nine, like something that just has a lot that I can get through. But I can't find anything that I'm really interested in.
I don't know. I come from the school of Fawlty Towers, so that's the way.
That's very true. That's Yeah, I mean, you can't really find something that stays quality for that long.
Yeah, well, I think that's part of the problem. And I think short seasons just allow them to just focus the craft versus, you know, because then you always get like that stupid filler episode or some stupid flashback crap or whatever. But I will say the one thing that I watched today that I've been waiting for, and to see, for anyone who cares about sports, which I'm not sure if there are anyone, if there is anyone, I should say, that's out there. But ESPN just released something called the Last Dance, which is a 10-part documentary series on the Chicago Bulls, their last season. And it every Sunday night they release two episodes, and I just watched the first two. I mean, it's unbelievable. Just I knew the story. I remember kind of all of it's coming back to me. I mean, for all of you who were not born and never got to see Michael Jordan play, watching him in this again, you just realize that he was unbelievable. But it's not just a story about Michael Jordan sports. It's just about how this dynasty was coming to an end, and just there's a lot of hatred behind the scenes in this thing. And it's well done. And I think, I mean, maybe it's just because I'm basically jonesing for sports, but it was great. So I'm just, if anyone cares to learn about probably, you know, arguably the best player in basketball ever, this is the documentary to watch. So yeah, I know I just bored you out of your mind. And wake up. Hey, wake up.
What? Sorry. Yeah, okay. Are you done?
Yeah.
Okay. Right.
Let's just get to the stories.
Okay.
Cool. Oh, there's one more thing though. Remember that thing I was telling you about when Rez was saying about the,
yes, that you were going to talk about last week.
Yeah. I totally forgot to say about it, but, one of our listeners had texted us, and he was just talking about, you know, how this is basically, you know, you were living the life of a serial killer when he was saying, you know, he's pacing around in his house and I'm trying to find where he wrote, and he was saying that, you know, this is not his own, but he just basically somebody else had said something similar, but he definitely ties it to a serial killer. And it was basically this thing where, you know, you wake up, you drink some coffee, then you pace around your immaculate apartment, maybe do some push-ups, then, you know, take out the garbage, you know, full of antibacterial wipes, nitrile gloves, you know, while maintaining a safe distance from everyone you see. And I was thinking, oh my God, you're right. We're all serial killers in some way.
Yeah,
right,
that's very true.
But yeah, just want to put that in there, but go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah. I was just going to say before we move on to our stories that, I mean, by the time this comes out, our giveaway is going to be wrapping up.
Right. We have the next few. Yeah. Yeah.
I think I said like Wednesday.
Well, we
night.
Said we would do it. We'd figure it out. We might just
Thursday
go through,
morning. Yeah, yeah. We'll see how that goes. But, you know, I'm sure just enter anyway.
Yeah.
You know, why not?
Absolutely.
And we'd love to see that. Yeah, definitely. Yeah,
modern Moose. Check them out.
Yeah. So just wanted to remind everybody about that. And then I think we can just go into our stories.
Sounds like a plan. You're doing what?
In between.
Gotcha. I have a true crime. Okay.
Okay. I said in between. I meant like paranormal, but.
But with a little bit of everything.
No, I just
so
wrote
it's paranormal.
It's just paranormal.
Okay. Well.
I wrote in between as my title of my document because I wasn't wasn't sure what I was doing yet. So right. That's just what was in my head. But it's paranormal.
Okay.
It's ghosts. I'm giving you a ghost story. And I'm sure you know this one. It's like one of the most famous.
Okay. You always say that again, and I never.
That is true.
I mean,
but
I think
I
right now I'm batting less than 200.
I feel like this one you would know.
Okay.
It was kind of inspired by your story last week. Just like a small snippet of it, which will become apparent. So,
what did I do? Oh, yeah.
Venice.
Venice. You don't even remember where that's from, even though you watched it. Indiana Jones, The Last Crusade.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
That was a while ago. Time passes differently in quarantine.
All right.
I didn't even know it was Monday until, like, noon. Anyway. So, in the 1850s, doctor and, quote, crusader for the mentally ill, Thomas Story Kirkbride commissioned an asylum to be built. His intentions were pure, actually, for once in our stories. This building, quote, marked one of the first hopeful developments in centuries for mental patients. It was meant to confront and dismantle stereotypes of mental illness being an irreversible condition that called for force and restraint. And Dr. Kirkbride would eventually go on to found the American Psychiatric Association.
Huh.
So he's a good guy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he's great. His creations, kind of, maybe not. So the asylum was planned to be built with the importance of light and fresh air, boasting long halls with 12-foot ceilings, lots of windows, and ventilation that allowed for cross breezes. Dr. Kirkbride also emphasized freedom. He believed that patients, quote, should be allowed to roam as much as possible and find stimulation for their minds.
Okay.
Having control over their own lives would help their behavior, he thought. So, this is his idea for an asylum. Mm-hmm. He's created this one asylum like it. And then those plans end up building like 73 asylums all over America.
All right. So, cookie cutter of this.
Yeah.
This model.
Pretty much.
Okay.
And this is all during the 19th century. But today, we're only going to be talking about one of those,
mm-hmm.
Which is in West Virginia. They were talking about the Trans-Allegheny Lunatic Asylum. Come on!
No.
Come on! How do you not know this one?
I don't know.
Oh, this is like the one. I mean, I know they all say the most haunted, but like... This one's like right. One of the most.
With open ears, I'm ready to hear this.
Get ready.
And then see what, you know, now you set the expectations so high.
Oh, okay. Never mind. This is one of the least haunted.
All right, let's go. Come on. Come on. I'm ready. I want to hear it.
My sources this week. I used the official website. And this was covered on And That's Why We Drink, right? And so every time they made this little joke.
I challenge you to find a story that you have not heard of or listen to in any of your podcasts, because
I have done those before.
All right.
It's harder for the ghost stories.
Yeah.
Okay. I did when I did Charles Starkweather, I had not heard that one before.
Okay.
See?
All right.
See? There are a lot, okay?
Go back to my zombie to the story. Opening. Oh, the ones you create yourself, of course, those aren't gonna be. But I mean,
I didn't create the zombie story myself.
Oh, that's right. Yours was the hills.
The Goblin Hills. Right. Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
Anyway, but in And That's Why We Drink, they call it Tala. So, I don't know. Every time I read the name, I just think Tala in my head. So, I just call it the asylum throughout.
Okay.
Anyway, so Wikipedia, all that's interesting. Atlas Obscura, Legends of America, Road Unraveled, The Washingtonian, Thought Catalog, LA Times, and Ranker.
All right. It's a lot.
A lot, yes. Okay. So, the asylum opened in 1863. And was able to comfortably house 250 patients. When it was built, several expert stonemasons were brought in from Germany and Ireland to help construct wide-open windows in order to provide natural light and fresh air.
Okay.
Also, it sits on 666 acres.
Jesus.
So.
Oh, Lucifer.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay.
Also, the walls were all 2.5 feet thick to muffle the screams of patients in agony.
Okay.
As you do. So the grounds included, quote, a working farm, dairy, waterworks, gas well, and a cemetery.
So like Disneyland?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. It's Disneyland.
Okay.
The asylum was intended to be sort of self-sufficient, and like a place where patients could feel at home and cared for, and like they had all their needs there for them and that kind of thing. So pretty humane for 1863.
Okay.
But, I mean, when you think of some of the ways you could get sent to these asylums.
Well, like, yeah, I don't think anybody's like, hey, here's my aspirational goal is to spend, you know, a month in this asylum.
Yeah. So.
Or in any asylum.
That's true. Some of the ways you could get committed. Number one, asthma. So.
Being a woman.
I think that, yes. Honestly, yes. Oh, okay. Being a woman. But asthma, so automatically, I guess I'm there. Vicious vices in early life.
Okay, so you're there for that.
Hey.
I'm just keep going.
Seduction.
Nah.
Egotism.
Yeah, okay, you're there for that. All right.
doubt about his mother's ancestors.
What?
I don't even know what that means.
That's a symptom?
That's a reason that you could get committed.
You doubt your mother's ancestors.
Yeah.
All right, well, you'd be in for that too.
Okay.
Right, Steph? What? She doubts your ancestors, doesn't she? Hasn't
Do Emma? I?
Yeah, okay.
Okay, anyway. Menstrual derangement.
Yeah. Right. So wait, you've missed one so far, right?
Laziness.
Okay, keep going. My God, you sure this is...
Reading too many novels.
Here we go.
Desertion of husband. I haven't checked that box yet. Okay. And many more, of course. But those, I think, were the greatest hits of that list.
Mm-hmm.
I think it also
said... So if
it
was the university...
Yeah, I think I'd get to go.
You'd get in.
I would get in.
That's right.
Probably with a scholarship.
Yeah, maybe.
But I think it also said, like, I mean, husbands could just, like, send their wives there. I think... What?
I could see it right now. It's not working out.
Yeah, like if their wives...
It's like calling social services.
Yeah, if their wives inherited money, they could send them there.
And then they took the money.
And then they would take the money.
Oh, yes. Make America great again.
Of course, yeah. Love that part of history. But don't worry, it gets worse. So it seemed that this positive environment couldn't last forever. In 1881, there was a surge in hysteria over disease. A lot more people were diagnosed with mental illnesses, and then stigmas about disease led to another like group of people getting sent to the asylum. And so the asylum was just overrun with people. At this point, 1881, there were around 750 patients, which is three times what the facility could manage.
Oh, wow.
Patients were crammed into the same rooms, often four or five in a one-person room.
But they had tall ceilings.
Yeah, but they did have tall ceilings, so, you know, everything's fine.
All right.
They had nice windows, too.
Exactly.
The farm and dairy...
So, again, this is not his fault. This is just...
No, he's a great society. Guy.
Society just decided that... Okay.
Yeah, all yeah, right. No, this is purely this one institution. Okay. Like, I'm sure his other ones were fine.
Okay.
Anyway, so the farm and dairy, which were intended to provide for 300 people, were unable to keep up with demand, causing malnutrition to spread throughout the asylum, and that, in turn, worsened a lot of the mental health issues.
So... Were most of these people coming from West Virginia, or
was it
hysteria was specific to like West Virginia, maybe Pennsylvania, because of the
yeah, probably like right. like that, like yeah, I don't know how many people were in West Virginia.
Well, I was just trying to figure out if this was someplace where people could just send people to this one, but if there's others around the country, then
right.
I would think you would send people. Yeah,
it must
to the closest
be like pretty local. Yeah.
Okay. Or maybe not. Maybe you're like, I want you out of here.
That's very true. Right. I want you as far away as possible exactly. so I can steal your money.
Right.
So the population kept growing. By 1938, the population was six times over capacity. Quote, the patients were running wild and orderlies outnumbered struggled to regain control. Then in the 1950s, the hospital's population was closer to 2,600 patients,
oh.
which was over 10 times its capacity.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And around this time, the Charleston Gazette sent a crew into the asylum to document what was going on and expose it, obviously. So they found patients sleeping on the floor in freezing rooms because there was no furniture or heat. Sometimes three patients would sleep in the same bed over the course of a day because they had to like sleep in shifts.
Oh, geez.
The staff had been overworked, and as a result, they'd neglected the building's sanitation. So the windows were covered in grime and dirt, and that would like darken the rooms and make it even colder. The wallpaper was peeling and disintegrating, and in some spots, it was obvious that people had been like tearing at it.
Okay.
The patients who were deemed, quote, unable to be controlled by orderlies were locked in cages in open spaces so that the bedrooms would be available for better behaved patients. So they reported that the asylum was, quote, dirty and unkempt, with many patients left naked and confined to dirty wards and bathrooms smeared with feces.
Lovely.
Yeah. By this point, famous surgeon Walter Freeman had started working at the asylum, and of course, he was performing experimental lobotomies on patients.
Brother. Okay.
Over the course of his career, Freeman performed over 4,000 lobotomies, leaving many healthy patients with, quote, lasting physical or cognitive damage. Duh. Of course, he used the ice pick method, which I'm sure we're familiar with.
Yeah.
But just in case, just to sum up, it's basically you jam like an ice pick thing in your eye and then you hammer it in to...
All right.
It's just gross.
Yeah.
Google it. So
or not.
That's true. Google it if you dare. Obviously, this resulted in a bunch of deaths. And I doubt he used any type of like anesthetic or anything. So,
oh, gosh.
This experimentation was so popular that in a single two-week period during the 1950s, one doctor, not sure if it was Freeman, performed 228 ice pick lobotomies.
Oh, God.
In 2 weeks.
Okay.
Yeah. Besides these lobotomies, patients would also be subjected to ice water baths, bloodletting, insulin coma therapy, confinement cribs, confinement cages, and electroshock therapy.
Oh, so, my God.
Really great institution that's being run here. The only part of the asylum that actually expanded to accommodate for the more prisoners coming, or sorry, they were like prisoners, but patients, was the graveyard.
God.
Also, a couple murders happened here, as you would expect from these conditions.
So you mean patients killing other patients?
Yes.
Okay.
For example, a patient named Joe, with the help of his friend, placed a recently lobotomized patient named Charlie on the floor of their room, balancing one leg of the bed on his skull, and then the two of them jumped on the bed.
Oh, come on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So,
I'm assuming it was segregated, women and men.
I believe so.
Okay.
Yeah. I think there were a lot of instances of, like, rape and sexual assault as well, though.
Great.
Yeah, lovely, great things to happen here. So the expose from the Gazette shocked readers, obviously, who started protesting against the asylum and demanding for it to be closed. But it didn't really gain that much traction until 1992.
What?
Yeah, when they wrote a follow-up piece.
Wait, this was in the 50s.
The 50s. I believe I said 50s.
Like 51, you said, something like that. 1951 or something.
Yeah, I just said
40 years go by. And then
in 1992, they're like, this is not good. And then it stayed open until 1994, and then it was forced to shut down. So the building is now mostly abandoned. It sort of is kind of like preserved how it was. Like, there will be like wheelchairs in the middle of the hallway, and like, I think there's still old medical supplies and stuff like that. But they give tours. During the day, they do like historical tours, and during the night, they do ghost tours. And I believe there's a gift shop too.
I can't remember, because I was actually in West Virginia.
Yeah, when we were doing our whole, like, last year, our college tour on April break, I wanted to go here.
No, but I met the governor of West Virginia.
Oh, sorry.
No, but it would have been 90. I wasn't aware
that we were in the presence of someone.
94. It might have been 94, so I'm wondering if he's the one that finally closed it.
Hmm.
He was a strange dude.
Okay. Well, anyway, it's obviously closed right now because of the virus.
Mm-hmm.
But typically they have tours going. I don't know when the start date is, but it ends in like November. So,
okay.
I don't know when they open back up again. Feel free.
Sorry.
Okay. Well, I would like to go.
Okay.
Anyway, so some of the spirits, because of course it's haunted.
Like, go ahead.
How could a place like this not be haunted?
True.
So the most popular spirit, I'm just going to mention her briefly here, but we'll get to her later, is a little girl named Lily, who was born in the asylum.
Oh.
Yeah. There's a man named Jesse who died of a heart attack in a bathtub. I'm assuming it was one of the ice cold baths, but I don't know. There's a few Civil War soldiers there.
Well, I mean, 1863.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know exactly what its attachment is to the war, but I'm sure there was something going on. There is an unnamed patient who was brutally murdered by his roommates. I don't know if that's supposed to be Charlie, but there were a lot of murders, so who knows?
Okay.
So one person visited the asylum for a tour and like wrote an article about their experience. And so they said that they went to a room that is said to be haunted by a ghost named Jim James. And one person, or this person on the tour, set up like those flashlight things where, you know, you like unscrew it a little bit.
What's Jim short for?
James, isn't it? Is it just James James?
I think so. Okay. All right, go ahead.
Maybe he's just like, you know, Jim or James, and it just got shortened to Jim James.
That could have been it. I hope.
James James. I don't know. Maybe his first name, he was named after his like father, and his middle name was named after his grandfather. I don't know. Anyway, so they set up like those flashlight things and asked Jim to turn it on. And after a moment, he did. And then they offered him a cigarette to turn it back off. And apparently, according to the guides, the ghosts like cigarettes.
Mm-hmm.
And so he did turn it back off for a cigarette.
Of course.
So they tried the flashlight thing in other places, like Lily's playroom, a, quote, pitch black corridor once reserved for violent women, and a lobotomy recovery area, but nothing else happened.
So they called it the playroom, or that actually was her playroom?
I think they might call it that, because when we talk about Lily later, you'll see why it's her playroom.
I was trying to think. Yeah, okay.
I mean, it could have been her playroom while she was alive.
The word play was never used in this asylum.
That's very true.
So, go ahead.
So, staff will hear, quote, squeaky wheels rolling across the tiled hallways. They also report seeing people who would, like, then just sort of walk through walls and disappear. You know,
that's spooky.
Yeah, it's pretty spooky.
Especially like when you see that kind of thing where it's, you know, the dark corridor.
Yeah.
And then you just see it looks black and white to yourself, you know, and then all of a sudden you just see a shadow.
Oh, yeah.
And the shadow goes through.
I hate that so much.
I mean, now that you have that big room, you know, it'll be like you're sitting in the corner.
Why are you
doing
this?
And now in that space,
you
just see.
Can you not?
I'm just saying. I mean, you wanted that room.
This is. Oh, my God. Anyway. Moving on before you ruin stuff more for me.
Mm-hmm.
There was a doctor at the asylum, I'm assuming before it closed, who reported that a ghost followed her home and continues to haunt her there.
Today.
I believe so.
Or when she was working there.
It didn't say, it just said it continued to haunt her. So maybe to this day, who knows?
That's not good.
Yeah. Many visitors will see a ball of light, quote, moving rapidly down the hallways. And I think people will take pictures and there'll be orbs in the pictures and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
On the first floor, there's a ghost named Ruth who, quote, used to hate men while she was alive and throw things at them. Honestly, don't blame her. And now as a ghost, Ruth still hates men and will throw things at male visitors. And if you call out her name, she'll push you around a little bit. Quote, they've been pushed from behind and fallen to the floor. Doors will open up and hit them in the face.
Oh, man.
And that's from, like, a tour guide. So, you know, maybe don't say your name.
Yeah, yeah.
There is a recording of somebody saying, get out, in Ward 2 on the second floor,
mm-hmm.
Where two patients had completed suicide and another had been stabbed to death. And whoever took the recording, like, swears that they were alone or that nobody else in the room said it.
Gotcha.
There's a ghost called Big Jim who might be the same person as Jim James. Who knows?
I like Big Jim better.
Yeah. Better than James James.
Exactly.
So Big Jim haunts the third floor, along with a ghost nurse named Elizabeth.
Okay.
I don't know what they do. They just sort of chill there, I guess. People have seen doors open and close by themselves. For me, I think the creepiest thing is there's a phantom known as the Creeper, who has been seen crawling on the floor And I believe it like crawls towards you.
Oh God.
And it's just like a shadow, I think.
Yeah.
And I hate that so much.
That's definitely nightmarish.
Yeah, I think that might be my least favorite thing about this. So some people report that they, quote, hear something banging loudly on the pipes. There's a ghostly soldier named Jacob who supposedly haunts the fourth floor. Visitors have heard, quote, hysterical laughter coming from empty rooms. Also sends chills down my spine. Of course, objects will move by themselves, as they do. And the ghost of a patient named Slewfoot, who was a murderer when he was committed, is said to haunt one of the floors, and he was slashed to death in a bathroom. So, back to Lily.
Right.
Everyone's favorite ghost. So she wears a white dress, and she's said to be about 9 years old.
Okay.
And it was believed that her mother was a patient, and then she was born and raised inside the walls of the asylum.
So she was raped?
Probably.
And then she was born, and then...
Yeah.
To have...
Likely.
Okay.
So, I think that Lily's playroom is mainly where she hangs out, and that's where she is known to talk. She will... What?
Did she die there?
We don't know how she died, or, like, what went on there, but she sort of hangs around in that space.
Okay.
But she will roll balls along the floor. Like, if you roll one, it'll come back to you and stuff like that.
Changeling.
Yes. Yes. She'll switch on the flashlights. She'll play a music box and, quote, often giggle in a way that observers describe as simultaneously sweet and horrifying. Also, she might try and hold your hand, which is...
Think of that little doll we have. That's kind of what I think.
The baby?
That baby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Except she's 9. But, you know, close enough. So, like I was saying earlier, you can go on historical and ghost tours on to the asylum, but you should probably wait until they open up again and until quarantine is over. But, yeah.
Otherwise, you'll be going by yourself, and that's probably not good.
Yeah, you might not come back.
Yeah.
So that is...
Never heard of it.
Never.
No, but, I mean, again, it seems like every asylum that you go through, so you could have mentioned, I don't know, the one in... Massachusetts, the one that's supposed to be the most haunted one.
Danvers? Oh.
Yeah, I think that might be it. There's a great movie called Session 9 that you should watch. I think it's Session 9, right?
I don't know. Sure.
It's something 9. I'm just trying to remember. I thought it was that, but I don't remember now. Okay. But yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, hey. Well done. I learned something new.
I really thought you would have known that one. Wow.
Yeah. Thanks. Cool. All right. I have a true crime.
Awesome.
I'm not going to say it's just true crime. I'm not going to tell you what kind of crime, and it'll just happen.
Okay.
But it takes place in California. 1995, I believe, maybe.
A year after the asylum closed.
Yeah. Actually, there's a couple you'll hear, because I'm actually taking you to 1998.
Oh. Okay.
On January 7th, 1998, two brothers, oops, that's my glass there, Garrett and Grant Hunter, wanted some pot.
Of course. I love it. Did you pick this for 420?
Maybe.
Yes. Yes.
Grant's the older brother. They had plenty of options to buy in their town. They grew up, or their town was Arroyo Grande. Again, in California.
Okay.
However, this evening, they decided... Do you know this already?
No.
Oh. However, they decided that we're going to get the pot, but we're not paying for it.
Oh, my God.
Okay. So, they knew the perfect seller to call because wasn't the brightest bulb, this, that, or whatever. Figured it'd be an easy steal. So, they paged. This is the day of pagers. You know, like crap, Captain Marvel. I mean, come on.
Now I know what you're talking about.
So they paged Anthony Fiorella. Nothing?
Nothing.
And they set up a meet at the local park. So the hunters had parked in the lot. They got there before Anthony did, and they had a friend with them. And I, the way they describe how this thing goes down, I was trying to figure out who was driving, who was where, whatever, mm-hmm. like that. But I believe that Grant was driving. Garrett was in the back seat, and the friend, I think, either in the back seat or in the passenger side. So they're waiting with for Anthony to show up. He does, and he pulls alongside them, and Grant gets out of the car and proceeds to, like, chat with Anthony, and Anthony hands him the pot. Grant then takes the pot, passes it to the back seat to Garrett, mm-hmm. and then I guess, like, proceeds to get back in the car when Garrett's like, let's go, and they take off.
Oh my God.
Just like that. So Anthony is absolutely furious that this went down, that, you know, he's been robbed. And the reason he's probably, I mean, he's mad in itself, but it's at 11 on how angry he is.
Rage.
And the reason is because he had been more paranoid than normal, because, I mean, I think he was a pretty heavy pot smoker himself, mm-hmm. but the reason was because he was just having the worst week.
No.
He believed that everybody was out to get him, his girlfriend, maybe even his mom, just neighbors and this and that. And the reason was because they lived in a trailer, mm-hmm. And it was broken into. He was robbed. I don't think his mother's stuff was robbed, but again, he had cash because he was selling, and stereo equipment, things like that. And then he had a stash of where he was growing his marijuana behind that had been completely, basically taken as well.
Wow.
So not destroyed, but, you know, uprooted. Yeah. So not a good week. And this kind of just didn't.
This is so sad.
So to make matters worse, the Hunter brothers couldn't just stop with robbing him. They had to put more salt into the wound, and they page him. And they page him with this message. 211-420-187. Do you know what? I mean, I know you know the 420, but do you know what the others mean?
No.
All right. So in the criminal penal code, 211 means armed robbery.
Oh my God.
And 187 means murder. So the way Anthony interpreted this
is that they,
message
they,
was
they
that.
They robbed him, they took his weed, and now they're going to kill him?
Exactly.
He cannot catch a break.
Right, so already again, he's on edge.
This poor man.
So Anthony replied with his own message with 187-666. And that interpretation is I'm going to kill you. And the satanic symbol.
You're
you know,
going to hell?
Well, the satanic symbol has a kind of. There's a meaning behind it. I mean, besides, you know, what the obvious, but when, you know, when he was caught and all these other things, you know, he said, I did it to scare them. And they asked him about the 666. And he's like, I just thought that that would scare them even more.
Good.
So now the Hunter brothers weren't scared. if they were, they didn't show it. So the next night, Grant was working at the Boston Market. Boston Market was, it's like, do you remember when? We took you when you were a lot younger. It had really good turkey, chicken, mashed potatoes, like that kind of thing.
Okay.
It wasn't like Kentucky Fried Chicken. It was supposed to be healthier, but it was big around this time.
Okay.
So he was working, and at around 8 p.m., he decides to go take a smoke break, and his brother's coming to join him.
Okay.
Smoke break. So they're pretty close, I guess, Garrett and Grant.
Well, they just stole weed together.
Yeah,
so.
I guess. So they're outside, and when they're both outside, who pulls up? Anthony.
Yes.
And he pulls up in his mom's car, so they don't know it's him. He jumps out, and what does he have in his hands?
A gun.
A shotgun.
Oh, my God.
And he aims it at the brothers. Grant takes off, shouting at his brother to follow him back into the market, and when he gets back into the Boston Market, he screams at his manager, call 911. As he's yelling 911, he hears a shotgun blast and his brother's scream. Anthony is taken off.
Anthony, no.
Grant goes back outside and has his brother, he's dying in his arms. And basically, it's too late by the time they get to the hospital and everything.
Oh,
he's dead.
Oh, Anthony.
So this goes down. It's not like they don't know who the...
Who did it?
Everything else. So police now raid his trailer.
Mm-hmm.
His mother is sitting there, And she's just watching as they come in and find pot, this, that, everything else. And it took almost a month for them to catch up. Wow. With Anthony. Like, I think he ended up going to New Mexico or something like that.
Wow.
But they did. And again, his mother is now dealing in that month's time, police, and you know, this, that, everything else. And, you know, she ends up watching her son get hauled away by police. Now, this is where the story ends for Anthony.
Okay.
But not for us.
Ooh.
No, our story is much darker. Remember that 666 page?
Mm-hmm.
Well, this wasn't the first time police had come to the Fiorella abode to search and arrest someone. About a year earlier, they came and arrested Anthony's younger brother. Why? Well, this is a story of the satanic ritualistic murder of Elise Paylor.
Oh. Wow.
All right. So here we go. This is, here are my sources. San Luis Obispo had two. I took most of it from them. Actually, I have three different articles that I used for the story. And then just Wikipedia to get some of the background information. Okay. It's crazy.
I've never heard of this.
No? All right.
We took a very sharp turn from 420 here.
Well, that when you were saying, when you had that 666 thing, I was like, oh, there's time. All right. Yeah, well, here's another thing that's a little bit ties it in date wise. Elise Paylor was born on April 24th, 1980. So it's only 4 days from now.
Yeah, wow.
I mean, I think I'm saying her name right. I don't know if it's Pahler. So I don't know if it's Paylor or Pauler, but I think it's Paylor. She was known to be an independent girl. She wasn't, her parents didn't call her rebellious, mm-hmm. Or a kind of a problem child, but you know, she did what she wanted to do, you know, that kind of thing. And her parents got divorced, at some point. I'm not sure. I think before all this stuff goes down, but, she was living with her mother. More than living with... Actually, I'm sorry. I'm mixing up families. I'm sorry. I'm thinking of the Fiorelli family. Sorry. Her parents are together. Okay. My mistake. She experimented with marijuana and alcohol as early as middle school and then into high school. She was known to sneak out of her bedroom window pretty much weekly.
Okay.
And to just hang out. She was...
I never understand that, because, like, don't they have screens? I can't envision it in my head. Maybe it's because, like, our house is just so unsneak-outable.
She was blonde, athletic, you know, attractive. And she definitely gained the attention of her peers. But Joseph Fiorella would become obsessed with her.
Right?
Now, Elise, at the time, was 15, and she befriended Joseph, who was 16, and he basically supplied her with weed and alcohol, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, Joseph's best friends were this one kid, Royce Casey, 14, and Jacob Delaschmut, I think, Delaschmut, 15, all right? And I think Jacob and Joseph may have been the same age, and then Royce was just a year a grade younger, so freshmen and sophomores, I believe. Mm-hmm. Now the trio, that the three boys, heavy pot smokers throughout high school, and I don't know if they started earlier or not, but again Joseph was the younger brother to Anthony, so I don't know if Anthony was their supplier or whatever. Their other love, music, but a particular type of music, heavy/death metal.
Oh, man. Come on.
So they formed a band called Hatred.
Okay.
And they were inspired by the band Slayer.
Okay.
So Slayer's albums were, I mean, Slayer was, I don't want to say they were mainstream by any means, but we all knew Slayer at the time.
Yes.
And their lyrics and their albums were pretty much littered with Satanism, violence, death, anything dark. I mean, it wasn't like a hidden secret by any means. Like, this wasn't kind of like that Led Zeppelin, play the songs backwards, you're worshiping the devil. No, this was like, we worship the devil, you know, like that kind of thing, right? Now, Joseph had obsession issues in general, but he immersed himself into Slayer's music and delved into Satanism. For real. Like, this is no... He was into it big time.
Taking it a little bit too far.
Yeah. Jacob and Royce weren't as obsessed by the devil worship or anything else, but again, they loved being in a band.
Cool tunes.
And there was pot. So,
oh, of course.
You know, if this is what we got to do, this is what we'll do, right?
Oh my God.
So they started to really follow Joseph and these and Slayer and really get it themselves, you know, immersed into this whole death metal rock god thing. And they basically believe that to be at the same level as Slayer and to improve their skills, they would have to sacrifice a virgin to the devil to gain those, you know, like double down to Georgia type thing.
I learned recently, I have no idea if this is true, I have to look it up, but I learned that like the whole virgin blood thing is like just blood that hasn't been used before, not like someone that hasn't had sex. Because, you know, virgin olive oil, that kind of thing. So, you know, they did it wrong. So, just saying.
Well, there you go. So, Joseph, again, laid the seeds. I think there was even this one conversation that one day they were, like, in the garage, and Joseph was like, hey, what do you think about sacrifice?
Oh, my God.
And I don't know if they were on weed at the time and completely out of it, but they're like, sure, what? Yeah, all right. And but, again.
I mean, honestly, I feel like with my friend group, we'd be like, hey, what do you feel about sacrifice? In a total, like, I would be so joke. We wouldn't take each other seriously. We'd be like, oh my God, I'm so down. Like, can I be the victim? That's our sense of humor. So I will say they might be thinking that.
Uh-huh. Okay, then.
I just, you know, in their defense.
No, there's no defense here. So anyway. Okay. Well, again, didn't take a lot of convincing. They're in. So one day after school, the boys basically, you know, are chatting up Elise and, hey, you know, got drugs, got some alcohol. Why don't you come with us? So, so they start leaving school. This is during the daytime and they're walking to this secluded area. And as they're walking, there's this embankment, not a steep, valley, but you know, enough that one of the boys, and I think it's Jacob, pretends to slip and then falls down the embankment to the bottom. So, of course, he's pretending he's in pain and this and that. And Elise, of course, because she's that type of person, is like, offers to come down and help him. So she goes down.
No.
And then Royce goes down with her to kind of help Jacob. And as this is all happening, Joseph takes out a hunting knife. He's still on the top of the embankment. And he tosses it down. I don't know which one grabbed it, but one of them has the knife now.
Oh no.
And Joseph starts screaming, do it, do it.
That's so gross.
Neither boy does anything. Okay. Elise just basically is like, oh, ha ha ha, you guys are so funny, you know, blah, blah, blah. And kind of just chalks it off to they were just joking around, never reports anything, doesn't say a thing or a word to anyone.
No.
And I think they go on to just smoke pot somewhere. But it rankles Joseph that it didn't happen, okay?
Oh, my God.
So, time goes on. And now Joseph is really into how this has got to go down and what he needs to do. And he's, again, probably more infatuated with Elise. So, their band's not getting any better.
Oh, yeah.
So, they're like, okay, well, I guess the only way... We gotta do this.
No, switch to like country or something.
So on the evening of July 22nd, 1995, Elise leaves her, like escapes her home, her window, goes out, the whole thing, and meets the boys at a particular place, called Napoma Mesa, which was rumored to be a naturally formed devil's altar.
Oh my God.
Okay. So now again, they're into death metal. It's not like she doesn't believe that kind of thing or anything like that. So I don't think she's thinking anything is going to happen to her. So I believe that there was smoking, there was drinking going on. And during some point, Jacob takes his belt off of his, from his pants and then starts strangling Elise.
No.
Royce then holds her down on this altar.
Oh my God.
And then Joseph takes the knife and starts stabbing her in the neck. Then he hands the knife to Jacob, who then also proceeds to stab her in the neck.
Oh my God.
And then Royce does. In the end, I think she was stabbed 12 times. The bad, worst, I know all this is terrible. She doesn't die.
No.
Immediately.
Oh my God.
She's alive and she bleeds slowly to death.
Oh my God.
Then they rape the corpse.
Oh my God. I don't feel any sympathy for them anymore. Okay, so it's gone.
They leave the body and then return on occasion to do it again.
What?
Yeah. So she's now missing, right?
Yeah.
Elise's parents report to the police. She didn't come home last night. We don't know. I think, she may have snuck out. We don't know. Blah, blah, blah. What do the police say? She must have run away.
I hate that. I hate that so much. They always...
It would take 8 months to find her body.
And during this time, they're still going back?
I don't know how often they could have. Exactly. So I don't know how long... I didn't get into that detail, nor did I want to. But 8 months.
Oh.
In that time, though, Royce Casey, the youngest, he's feeling the pressure. He's writing in his diary, you know, these things of dreams. And in a way, I don't know if it was subconsciously, he ends up kind of confessing about the events of that evening, not directly using anybody's name, but he tells about vivid dreams of this thing, all these things happening. There's another place saying that he finds God at some point, like whatever it is. But the real reason, which was years later told, was that he believed that he was next, that they were going to kill him at some point.
Oh my God.
Because the band, I guess, wasn't getting any better.
Yeah, duh.
So he couldn't handle the pressure and he goes to the police and basically shows them where the body is. Now, when he's being questioned about all this, mm-hmm. I'm just going to quote what he says. He goes, they're like, why? And he's like, well, it was to receive power from the devil to help them play guitar better. By making this perfect sacrifice to the devil, we would gain more craziness or, you know, nuts, he said to the investigator. And then he went on to say, that would make us play harder, play faster, and making the perfect sacrifice to the devil, you know, it might just help us, you know, become professional, go professional. All right. So, of course.
Like, even if that was true, that's the most selfish thing that I've ever heard. Like.
The case, of course, gets national attention because immediately it's about.
Satanic panic. And,
right. Now, but this is the real deal. Like, this isn't the, you know. 1980s, we'll just blame, you know, you're a goth, you're a devil worshiper. I mean, they did, right? So when this went down, Joseph would basically, when he was caught and was being interviewed, he was saying, like, look, it was Slayer. Slayer, the music influenced us. It told us exactly how to sacrifice. This gave us the idea, and, you know, we wanted to be like them.
No.
And Jacob, of course, did the same comments that Joseph was saying. So all the boys found guilty.
Good.
Given 25 years to life, but with the option of parole in 2021. So that's next year.
No, they better not get out.
Again, we'll find out next year. All right, so all that happens. After the trial, or maybe... around the same time or a couple of years later, or maybe, I don't know, but basically the parents, Lisa's parents, file a civil suit against Slayer saying that their music incited murder.
No.
I remember this too, because this was national television, right? So in 19, I'll just make sure I get the right date here. Oh no. So the band ends up testifying during this whole thing. And flat out, like, I don't know if this was the guitarist or the lead singer said, like, look, we're evil. Like, we're not saying we're not, but you are responsible for whatever your own actions
exactly.
are. Right? He's like, and then another one said, like, look, we never told people to harm or do harm or anything like that. And then another band member is like, look, and even the description of our rituals, they didn't even follow what we were singing.
Oh,
they
God.
Did something completely different. Like, so this is not on us.
Yeah.
So in the end, the judge found them innocent, stating that their lyrics were repulsive and profane, but they do not direct or instruct listeners to commit the acts that resulted in the vicious torture murder of Elise Paler. So basically, First Amendment rights, you know, they were innocent. Years later, Joseph and Jacob would confess that the murders really had nothing to do with Slayer's influence. And it was believed that more of it was basically because Joseph was
infatuated
and obsessed with Elise.
Gross.
They tried to also further distance themselves from the whole satanic ritual thing. But Roy said, and I think around the same time, that the teens had referred to themselves as Satan's children and had discussed killing Paler in a devil worship ceremony for months before it actually happened.
God.
So I think Royce was actually tried separately from Jacob and Joseph, but they are still in jail, and I believe it'll be 2021. Maybe it's a couple of years later, but yeah, that's the case.
Oh my God. I've never heard of that.
The death of Elise Paler. Yep. So there you go.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it was not a happy one, but it did start off with the whole with the pod thing. And like when I was searching, but when I found that story, I found the first story of the brother, and then it mentioned something. I'm like, what? And then I'm like, oh my God. So yeah, there you go.
Wow. That was well done and horrifying.
Yeah. Wow. I'm sorry. But, you know, all we have is time.
Yeah.
All right. Ready for your fun fact? Cool.
All right. So, today I have a fun fact from Best Life Online. And I believe the article was called 100 Random Facts So Interesting You'll Say OMG.
All right.
So, get ready.
Mm-hmm.
Please. I would die to see you say OMG. I don't think you've ever said that in your life. Okay.
Not the letters.
Yes, not the letters.
Yeah.
So, space smells like seared steak. When you see footage of astronauts floating peacefully in space, do you ever wonder, what does space smell like? Do you?
Not till now.
Okay. Well, according to some former astronauts, space does have a distinct odor that hangs around post-spacewalk. They've described it as, quote, hot metal or searing steak.
Huh. Oh, my Shiva.
No!
OMG!
Yeah! There we go. That's all I wanted. I ask for so little. Anyway.
OMK.
Anyway.
Mm-hmm.
If you'd like to send in your own
please do.
Facts. What? That wasn't good?
Yeah.
It didn't make you say OMG with sincerity?
I was forced.
If you want to send in some fun facts that will make him say OMG like with sincerity, please do. You can send those to our Gmail, which is everythinginpodcast@gmail.com. You can also submit story suggestions or stories that have happened to you that we would find really interesting and maybe talk about on the podcast. You can also submit those through our website, which is www.everythingpodcast.weebly.com. So check that out. We have lots of fun stuff on there. And it's just another fun way to submit. We're on social media. Our Instagram is @everythinginpodcast. Our Twitter is @between_podcast. And we have a Facebook group and page, both by the name of Everything In Between Podcast. Check that out, especially if you want to know more about that giveaway. I have a post on our Instagram about it, and you can see that awesome zombie clock. So definitely go enter that. It's going to be fun. And if you're listening on a platform that allows you to do so, please, please, please rate, review, and subscribe. It's very helpful for us and could give you a leg up for that giveaway. Yeah. And of course, we choose songs for each one of our episodes to represent the stories. And we have compiled those songs into a playlist on Spotify called The Soundtrack In Between. If you want to check that out, it's got a like good range of music.
Yeah, no.
No metal. No country, I don't think, yet.
No, we have country.
We do?
Yeah, we have, well, I mean, Johnny Cash is considered country.
Oh.
And I think we have another one in there.
Isn't yours this week technically country?
Well, it's folk country.
Okay, never mind. We do have country, but we don't have metal.
We don't have metal. Yeah, I never really got into metal. I mean, they're definitely heavy rock. I mean, I guess you remember the Darkness. They would be old school.
Yeah.
Well, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. Not really into it, but you know, whatever. To each their own. Anyway, so check that out. And I believe that's all we have for this week. So until next week.
Yeah, stay safe, stay home.
Stay home, stay healthy, all that. Wear a mask if you can.
Yeah, no, I think they're saying, at least in Massachusetts or in Cambridge, they're going to make it. Wait, didn't you say stuff? They said they're going to, for masks, are they going to enforce? It's mandatory, yeah. Considering, but you know. But you know.
All right. So see you next week.
See you next week.
Bye.
Bye.